Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Ipswich Town Insights. I'm Chris Brammer and I'm joined by Argent Suffolk's chief football writer, Stuart Watson. It's been 3 wins from 3 for Ipswich Town at the start of this season. A home win against Birmingham City last weekend, followed by a potential banana skin against Luton, overcome 2-0 in the Carabao Cup in midweek. And then yesterday, or on Saturday should we say, Town won 2-1. At Barnsley, a great comeback win thanks to goals from substitutes David McGoldrick and Martin Wycorn. Stu, what's going on? What's happened?
All feels a bit strange, doesn't it? A bit alien after all the doom and gloom of last season for 3 wins and a renewed sense of feel-good factor. Long may it continue, makes our lives a lot easier. And it's not just been the wins and the results, but the nature of the performances. Bit more balance about the side, bit more pace, bit more positivity, positive selections from Mick, positive changes at the break, playing the kids. As I say, it all feels very strange and very refreshing.
Is what happened last season and the fact that season ticket sales were down in the summer and the stick that the club got from that, do you think that's played a part in Mick's thinking, or do you think he's just got the players now, he's got the tools to work with to be able to play the football that he wants to play?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've just been writing my verdict piece for the paper. Maybe Mick's not as stubborn as we thought and feared, because there definitely does seem to be a bit more of a conciliatory tone from him since we've come back after the summer. He's been less on the front foot in terms of having a pop at the fans and the rest of it, which didn't help last season. You know, he's been very honest in saying last year wasn't good enough, they didn't entertain enough. It was an end, means to an end, and you know, he said that we need to try and play better football, and it's not been so much. I think realistically, the fans weren't demanding sexy one-touch on the ball football from Ipswich, but what they did want was it to be less predictable, less one-pace. They just wanted to see a bit of a tempo, aggression, just a general bit of get up and go from Ipswich Town, which was lacking last season. And thankfully, we've had that in these first 3 games. Has it been perfect? Far from it. Let's be honest, it could be a different story. Birmingham had the better of the first half at Portman Road. Luton had a decent first half, and the story could have been different had they not missed that sitter just before half-time at Kenilworth Road. And Ipswich had to ride a bit of a storm at Barnsley in the first half on Saturday, and had Bartosz Białkowski to thank for a number of good saves. So it could have been a different story, but I'm of the opinion that fortune favours the brave. Ipswich weren't brave enough with their selections and their approach to games last season. Mick seems to have lost a little bit of that cautious edge. He's played the kids, he's trusted the kids. He's, you know, brought on 2 strikers at half time on Saturday and didn't take 2 strikers off. He had 4 on the pitch in Garner, McGoldrick, Sears and Waghorn. Really went for it, and I think they reap the rewards for that.
It's quite right, the feel-good factor going around Portman Road at the moment, but the flip side of that is that they played Birmingham on the opening day, a team, or should I say a squad and a manager, that's struggling to bring in new players for whatever reason, so you know they were short on that particular day. They went to Luton, it was a no-win situation for Town, they were expected to win, and if they didn't, there'd have been all kinds of repercussions. And then on Saturday they went to Barnsley, who have been one of the teams that have been tipped for relegation this season. So in some ways, and the way we looked at the fixture list at the start of the season, there were games that you would expect Town to be comfortable in.
Well, we always said it was a kind, reasonable start on paper, but that could have been a curse as well. We have to be fair, because had they not started well, had they not got these points and these wins, then you can just imagine the mood and the atmosphere now if we'd have been sat here saying that they struggled and not won in those games. So they've still had to go out there under a fair bit of pressure to start well, because there was a cloud hanging over their heads going into this season, more so having lost 6-1 to Charlton in their final warm-up game. So I think we've got to focus on the positives and the character that they have won these games, and having been on the back foot in the first half in those 3 games as well, I think that highlights that there's a bit of character and unity about the place again. I've kind of said before that there's that sort of underdog, close-knit feel about the place that you could kind of sense in that sixth place season a couple of years ago. I think it's helped massively that they've reduced a a fairly bloated squad. They've got rid of some fringe players. You know, the likes of the Leon Bests and Giles Coates and people have moved on. I think Mick's done well to freshen up a squad that was going stale, you know, moved on some senior players in Berra, Douglas, Pittman. And I think he's just added a bit of extra dynamic players to the squad and just given them a bit of get up and go. People like Waghorn are direct, Garner's a real fighter and leader at the front. Iorfa's a athletic presence at right back, and they're all players that have just given a bit of zip and a bit of fizz to the team that was lacking.
And that team goes to Millwall on Tuesday night. The games are coming thick and fast at the moment, and they're coming up against the Lions team that I think their manager Neil Harris, he feels a bit unfortunate that they've not got more out of the two games they've played so far. I think they were the better team at Forest on the opening day and lost that game. Then he played against Bolton at the weekend, two promoted teams, and they only got a 1-1 draw. And I believe he was quite down about it after the game, wasn't he?
Yeah, he said that's two games in a row where we've been the better team in this division and we've only got 1 point to show for it. So I don't think we should be reading too much into the fact that Millwall have only got a point on the board and they're a newly promoted team. Cliche, but it's always difficult going to the Den and the atmosphere that...
But that happened at Barnsley though, didn't it? Where Barnsley were far the better team in the first half but didn't put their chances away, and then Town fought back in the second half, and in the end, on the balance of play in the second half, you would say probably just about deserved to win the game.
Yeah, and Barnsley manager Paul Heckingbottom and a number of their sort of journalists and people associated with Barnsley were kind of saying, well, that's the Championship. That's the difference between League One and the Championship, is that it's just that extra bit of quality that makes the difference. We all know it's fine margins in most games at this level, and it's just little moments and little pieces of play that are the difference. Ipswich had a goalkeeper who's arguably, for my money, the best in the division, in Bartosz Białkowski. He made the saves at the right time, and then they had the class to come off the bench in McGoldrick and Waghorn. And that was the difference, and I'm sure Millwall will find that this season, that there'll be moments, and they've already found that so far, where they feel they've played really well, and you get punished if you don't take your chances. So hopefully Ipswich is extra quality, and I do think they've got extra quality in their squad, will show again on Tuesday night, and they can get another win on the board, because there are tougher tests ahead than the teams that they've played so far. I mean, I look at... this month continues after Millwall. You've got home games against Brentford, the trip to Palace in the Cup, and then a home game against Fulham, which will obviously be tough. But September, there's four away games out of six, including trips to QPR, Derby, Leeds and Bristol City, with home games against Bolton and Sunderland in between. So that's a toughish month. And then I think beyond that, October, November, December time is starting to look very tough on paper. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that Ipswich keep the ball rolling. They've done really well to get off to a good start, and they just need to keep the momentum going.
I guess if they do pick up another couple of wins this month and maybe a draw or whatever, they'll have done it slightly against the odds given their injury problems. We saw Flynn Downs, the latest midfielder at the weekend, he hobbled off, fortunately. He didn't get stretched off, but it still looked like quite a bad knock that he took at Barnsley. So all of a sudden, you're down to Cole Skews and Adam McDonald with Kevin Bruce seemingly out of the picture as Mick McCarthy's midfield options. Well, certainly in the centre.
Yeah, and centre-back as well. Adam Webster and Tommy Smith are going to be out for 8 weeks, we're told. Webster's done his ankle again at Luton. Tommy Smith probably has a knock-on effect of that back surgery he's had last season. He's now going to have knock-on effects from that. You get back problems, it can lead to all other things starting to go wrong. So he's got a hamstring injury and is going to be out for 8 weeks. Looking at the fixtures, 8 weeks equates to 9 games. They're probably looking at not being back till after the second international break in October time. So 8-9 games they're going to be out for. So what does that leave us with? We've got Luke Chambers as the kind of only out and out senior centre half with Knudsen, Iorfa, Spence. Okay, they can do a job at in a central three. I'm not sure any of them would be too happy or comfortable playing in a central two. Luke Wolfenden, young lad, did himself no harm at Luton in the Cup, but it's a big difference to suddenly throwing him in week in, week out. So I think Mick will probably dip into the market for some short-term cover at centre-back. Shame that Stephen Taylor's kind of moved on, because he might have been the obvious option on a sort of a pay-as-you-play deal, perhaps. But he's obviously gone to Peterborough in League One. Central midfield, as you say, you've got Skews. And then beyond that, Adam McDonald, who probably started the season thinking he had no chance at 9th, 10th in the central midfield pecking order. But all of a sudden, he's played in two games back-to-back. Kevin Brew seems to be completely out of the picture. No squad number. Not been in any of the squads so far. I'd be very surprised if there's a reprieve for him. Beyond that, you've got Naidam, Salina, attacking midfield players, not necessarily ready to go into the hurly-burly of the sort of holding central role. Let's go through the list of midfielders that are out injured. Ward, Hughes, Adeyemi, Bishop, Hyam, Dizel, Downs. That's an incredible list, really, for this stage in the season. So they need the cavalry to come back. I think a fair few of them, are going to be targeting that cup game at Palace in a couple of weeks' time. So they might be able to just make do and mend in midfield, but centre-back certainly going to need some cover.
One player that isn't injured at the moment and is fit and firing, touch wood, has really impressed me at the start of the season, is Jonas Knudsen, involved again in the goal on Saturday, and he really seems to have got the bit between his teeth. He's always been a fairly solid defender, especially in that back three, but he's adding offensive ammunition to his game.
I think there was a time last year where Jonas seemed to be top of the scapegoat list among supporters. I think there was a sense that, listen, he had big boots to fill, didn't he, in terms of coming in at left back off the back of Cresswell and Mings. And as you say, he's always been a pretty solid performer. And considering he scored in both Derby games last season, he's still got a fair bit of stick. And there's no doubting that he plateaued a bit, I think, in his second season at Ipswich. He was just seen as a fairly solid, reliable left back, no more than that. And of course, Miles Kenlock comes in towards the end of the season, homegrown lad. Fans were desperate for him to do well, and he did do well, and I think he looked better going forwards than Jonas. And I think we both said on when that team against Birmingham was announced that Miles was very unfortunate not to get the nod, but Mick was very quick to say, look, Jonas is my first choice left back. He's and you know, just a handful of good games from Kenlock at the back end of last season doesn't change that. And I think maybe that competition and a bit of insecurity has not been bad for Jonas, because he's come back and really raised his game up a notch, whether he's been at left wing back or that left-sided role in a back three. I think he's been equally good in both those positions. Some really good deliveries from the left. Two good assists now, one against Birmingham and one from a Goldrick goal at Barnsley at the weekend. I still think, personally, I quite like him in the back three. I think he's he's very good in the air. Not a lot gets by him one-on-one. He's pretty no-nonsense. So I'm quite comfortable with him being a sort of a back three option. But if it had just been one out of Webster and Smith injured, I think they could have got by. But with two of them out, they probably need some extra help.
You think there'll be a lot of activity in the transfer market? There's about probably 18 days left now of the transfer window. Do you think it'll be more loans rather than permanent signings? Do you think before these injuries, Mick would have been quite satisfied with what he's got?
Yeah, he seemed to say that, didn't he? We asked him, is there any more business after Waghorn had come in? And he said, unless injuries, no, I'm happy with my squad. I think he's happy to carry a smaller squad this year. He's not got too many fringe players that are going to be walking around the place looking and feeling miserable, and that rubs off on others. I think he's happy for everyone to feel like they've always got a chance of playing and have got a part to play. He's got, when everyone's fit, he's pretty much got two players in most positions, arguably wingers that he might be a little bit light on with Ward, Rowe and Salina, if he wants to play 4-4-2. And I still think deep down he's a 4-4-2 man. I know they've played wing-backs in the first three games. He's always been very quick to sort of drop that system whenever he could. I understand why he stuck with it at Barnsley on Saturday, having won the first two games with it, but I think the way they were overrun in that first half at Barnsley, he switched to 4-4-2 at half-time and it made a world of difference. So I think that might be his excuse to switch to back to a four-at-the-back system, be it 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1 going forward. So wide options might be a little bit short there, but Waghorn can play wide, so I think he was fine up until these injuries at the back, and if there's anyone coming in, it will just probably be a short-term centre-back, probably on a loan up until Christmas.
And just finally, let's just look ahead briefly to Saturday's fixture. Brentford at home, I think they've lost 2 out of 2 so far, which is a little bit surprising given the way they've played in the last couple of seasons in the Championship. But still be a tough test for Ipswich.
Yeah, I mean, we remember that there's a hell of a battle with Brentford at Portman Road when Higham got sent off. Is that last season or the season before? I'm trying to recall. But they've had some great battles with Brentford in recent years. Since Brentford have come up to the Championship and become an established Championship club, obviously they finished in the playoffs with Ipswich a couple of years ago. No matter who the manager is, they've got a certain style about them, a way they want to play, a fairly passing, dynamic game. It was the 2-2 game on the opening game of the season. Ipswich went there, Ryan Fraser and Maitland-Niles flying down the wing. That's a game that sticks in my mind. So they've always tended to be entertaining, interesting games against Brentford, and I'm sure Saturday will be the same.
Well, that's just about it for this week. Thanks very much for listening to this latest episode of Ipswich Town Insights. And until next time, it's goodbye.